The simplest definition of meditation is directed concentration. Concentration means bringing things to a center, diminishing the scope but intensifying the power of something. I think a root meaning of the word concentration is an arrowhead, and an arrowhead is an interesting image of concentrating power to a point. So concentration is a basic technique that is integrally involved with and important to the practice of meditation. I've often read, and this feels right to me, analogies between light and consciousness. And just as a light beam can be concentrated, and when it is, we see its power intensified, so consciousness can be concentrated and we can experience its power intensified. So when we concentrate a light beam, we diminish the scope, the width of the light beam, the brightness and power of the light increases. And in the same way, I think consciousness can be concentrated and its brightness and power increased. I've always been interested in the fact that there is a linguistic link between the words meditation and medicine. Both of them arise from a Sanskrit root that also has given us the English word measure. And while it's impossible to pin down the exact meaning of that ancient Sanskrit root, it seems to have something to do with thoughtful action to establish order. So implied in that is a sense of some kind of active process. It's work, action of some sort with a goal in mind, and the goal is creating order, of ordering our experience, ordering the external world. So medicine and meditation are both different expressions of that kind of process in different realms. Let me begin by talking a little more about concentration and the differences between concentration and meditation. I think everyone recognizes that concentration is a valuable skill. In order to do work well, in order to do any kind of skill well, I think we have to be able to focus our attention. One of the questions that I ask in taking a medical history of patients is, how is your memory? How is your concentration? I'm just interested in that. And, you know, if people say that they're very distracted, they find it hard to concentrate, that's something that I'll note down. I find that of interest. There are many reasons why people are unable to concentrate. One is that they may not have practice at it. A very common one is that they may not care to. For example, when patients tell me that they have memory problems, I think actually in most cases their memories are probably all right, and the real problem is that they aren't concentrating or paying attention. You know, if you're not paying attention when something goes by, you're not going to remember it. And the secret of attention is often motivation. If you don't care to note something when it goes by, then you're not going to notice it and it's not going to get filed in your memory. So in my experience, it's problems in those realms, that is the desire to pay attention and the ability to pay attention, which may result in problems of memory and concentration, and that those are things that need to be looked at. But it's also interesting to observe that we do concentrate naturally in many situations that many of us might not associate with meditative practice or the development of concentration. For example, when you watch a movie, you are in a state of concentration. And that's an example of an experience in which the scope of consciousness has diminished so that you are relatively unaware of your surroundings, of the theater, of the people sitting in seats around you, of the noises people might be making. All that has receded as the focus of what you're paying attention to has decreased in scope but sharpened in intensity as you're focused on the sights and sounds of what's going on the screen. So that's a situation in which most of us are highly motivated to pay attention, and we're using our practice at concentration in order to have an experience that we think is rewarding. So I think a problem for us is to learn to bring that same degree of motivation and focusing of attention in other situations where we might want to use it. It seems to me that whenever you see someone who has mastered a skill or an art, whether it's musical expression, any other kind of creative expression, athletic skill, surgery, you know, anyone who is expert at something like that has mastered concentration and focusing of attention, and is thereby able to bring great power and the power of consciousness to bear on a particular situation, which brings great rewards. So I think that the basis, the fundamental skill or tool that underlies meditation practice is focusing of attention and concentration. We do this in many areas of our life naturally, often unconsciously. There is great value in learning to apply this skill in areas that we want to master so that our actions become smooth, focused, that they produce the thoughtful action to establish order that many of us would like to be able to do in more areas of our life. I think the essential difference between general concentration and meditation is that in meditation, concentration is directed to a specific object. There is an object of meditation. That object or focus of meditation, I think, can be anything. It can be a blank wall. It can be your thoughts. It can be a sound. It can be a visual image. It can be another person. It can be a body sensation, but there is an object of meditation. The object need not be constant. It can change from moment to moment, but there is purpose in the selection of the object of meditation. It's not random. And furthermore, it has some significance in terms of the goal of meditative practice. Probably the most natural object of meditation is the breath. And this has been used as the focus of concentration and attention in many meditative systems from many cultures throughout history around the world. I have written about, talked about, made recordings about the power and value of attending to the breath, and I often recommend breathing exercises to my patients. A reason that the breath is a perfect natural object for meditation is that it is right on the border of the physical and the non-physical. I won't go into great detail here, but it seems to me that you can make a very strong argument that breath is the movement of spirit in the body, that breath is the connection between mind and body, that it's a connection between the non-physical and the physical, between consciousness and the unconsciousness. And for all those reasons, it makes a perfect natural object of meditation. And the simplest form of meditation practice is simply to sit down and attend to the breath. So you are practicing concentration, diminishing the scope of what's in your awareness, increasing the intensity of awareness, and directing that focus to an object which furthers the goal of meditation practice, which in this case might be developing spirituality, increasing awareness of the non-physical aspects of being, and so forth. Now, I'll just say a few words about the different forms and styles of meditation that you might encounter. I think these mostly differ in the objects of meditation. For example, in Tibetan Buddhism, the object of meditation is often a visual image. In some forms of Hindu meditation, the object of meditation is often a sound or a syllable that's repeated over and over. In forms of Buddhist meditation, the object of meditation might be breath or body sensations, and there might be a dynamic component in which the focus of attention shifts as different things, sensations, thoughts arise in the field of consciousness. In Christian forms of meditation, the object of meditation might be a prayer that is repeated over and over. Personally, I think these differences in styles and schools of meditation are less important than the commonalities, and the common theme of all of these is focused attention, directed attention, mindfulness brought to the present moment. There are many names that you might hear out there of Zen meditation, Vipassana meditation, for example. I think you can learn about these by doing them, by meeting people who are engaged in these practices. But again, I would say that the commonalities of meditation are more important than the superficial differences, and that however you do it, whether it's simply sitting down and focusing on the inflow and outflow of breath, or whether you are taught a secret mantra that you've had to pay money for, or whether it's a complicated mandala that you focus your attention on, you are doing the same kind of work, and that at root, meditation practice is meditation practice, and the important thing is to do it.